welcome to Street Mix Talkback. Your host is a mover and shaker in Tau Māori, never shy to confront the tough kaupapa, and a warmth that gives people space to talk and hear their views. And that invitation is extended to you. It's Street Mix Talkback for people from all walks of life, sharing their thoughts, their views and opinions and ideas. And you can too, by phoning 0800 4603 603 or 2759 603. It's time here on Radio Wāte for Street Mix Talkback. And here's your host, Metepeka Raukawa Tate.
Well, kia ora te whānau, nice to be with you today, Tuesday, the 28th of November, and rain is on the way again, and I still feel so sad for the people around the coast here, around Tairāwhiti, Gisborne area, that whole area around there, around the coast, because the rain is coming again, and poor buggers, they just keep getting it, don't they? But anyway, we hope that they're going to get the assistance that they need, because something has to happen there. But anyway, welcome to tonight's show. Lovely to have you with us on Radio Wātea. And of course, I'm delighted to have my first guest this evening, Hemana Waka. And you know, Hemana has... he's been a guest of mine here for on a number of occasions. And, of course, he's well known to our Radio Wātea listeners. Kia ora, Hemana. Nice to have you with us this evening.
Tēnā koe, Merepeka. Nam hika koutou katoa, and totally agree with you. Let's hope our whānau in Ngāti Porou and around the Tairāwhiti stays safe and dry.
Yes, I know. I mean, I can tell you, you know, people who just believe that we can kick the can down the road in terms of climate change and what we need to be doing, they need to have another thing coming, Hemana, because these events are not going to go away. If anything, they're going to increase.
Yes, absolutely. They may be down, but they're not out. Our people will have some resilience to come back and survive.
Exactly. Now tell me, when you're talking about they might be down but they're not out, and I'm talking about the hui that you're going to be holding, I understand, in Auckland.
Yes.
But my goodness, there's been some real down, if you think about it. We're talking about the Malayan, Borneo, Vietnam veterans. And so, I was privileged, Hemana, to hear you speak recently at the Waitangi Tribunal hearing on the Hauora for the veterans. And you moved me to tears. I have to say, you moved me to tears, so I'm so pleased. So this is obviously a continuation of that mahi that we're talking about then?
Yes, it is, Merepeka. You know, that was a sort of a wake-up call, not only for the people that I'm representing. I'm representing all of the veterans that served in those conflicts, but it's Pākehās as well, Merepeka, because what they went through, our Māori, and in terms of their health, it also had a huge impact on our Pākehā comrades as well. But as you and I pretty well much know, that sadly, we as a Māori within our genes, we suffer the higher rate in numbers, and I think it's only because of our makeup. So there has to be some sort of avenue that we can help improve all our mates. You know, they're in the twilight of their years now. We're all over 75 now, and we're still going through some issues that needs to be addressed. And unfortunately, this is where decisions are being made down in Wellington with Veterans Affairs, not so much the New Zealand RSA as such, but certainly when it comes to the compensation and the areas that you've got to navigate to get compensation, not just for my mates, but for their whānau and tamariki, is humongous in terms of what you have to go through, what you have to navigate through, the paperwork, the loads and loads of paperwork. And so that something has to be done about recognising, Merepeka. I'm really pushing it now. It's time to recognise the New Zealand Defence Force, the New Zealand RSA, and the Veterans Affairs need to recognise that we have a remedy by Māori for Māori that's introducing our cultural intervention with our Māori healing. Let our people heal our own.
Oh, absolutely. And the other thing too is, as you rightly point out, that time is marching on, and many of the veterans that could have been supported in terms of compensation that would have made their lives and their quality of life so much easier, it's too late for many, isn't it?
Absolutely, especially with our tamarikis, because the the toxic poisoning that has the effect since the Agent Orange and since some of the diseases that we suffered in Malaya has certainly played its intent on passing it down to the generations. And so my aim is to actually go out and promote to the veterans, the book that I researched about what is my health benefits for my mokopuna tomorrow. And so I intend to go up and down the country promoting it, and at the same time inviting all our Māori hauora providers in those regions so that that gives them a perspective of what the mama is that we, the veterans, have been going through since we retired and since we've come back. The government, for some unknown reason, has turned a blind eye and are neglecting to listen to what we are saying. The few, they say, look, here's who we are, here's where we are, and what you're sending us to, Veterans Affairs, to see specialists in town, to see a specialist. The specialist recommends something, and it goes back to Veterans Affairs, and someone down there makes a decision, oh, no, you don't qualify. You didn't meet the requirement of time. Well, I'm afraid that question was never asked when we signed for God, King, and Country. They didn't give us a time. And now when we need that return of gratitude for our health, we're pushing shit uphill, to be quite honest. Mm.
Yes, you certainly are. And do you think Hemana, the veterans themselves never knew the extent of their health issues all those years ago? Or did they know, but they thought they had nowhere where they could get a listening ear to what they would wanted to share?
We knew when we got there. We knew what the implications are for our health. But what we didn't know was what was the implications of applying the insect repellents, and of course, or what the effects of the Agent Orange was when it came dripping down in the leaves onto the troops. No one told us what those effects were. One, because probably they didn't know themselves until after the event, and two, with our boys that got sprayed in Vietnam. The government certainly would have known about it, but they chose not to, and hence the betrayal has been very strong of all the veterans that I interviewed for the research. There's two things that they raised quite clearly. One was betrayal. The government didn't believe them at first, and secondly was when the Governor General, Sir Paul Reeves, signed a paper through the government confirming that they weren't sprayed. And it wasn't until the hero of the day, as far as we're concerned, was Colonel Masters, when he came back from Vietnam. Luckily, he brought back the maps that had marked all the grid squares that had been sprayed to convince the government of the day, here is the proof, here is the evidence, we were sprayed in these grid squares of where the planes had dropped the detergent. And so whilst it's gone into history now, we are still suffering as a result, and we need to do something. And so we've got a voice at the Waitangi Tribunal to be able to tell to the government, to the Waitangi Tribunal, here's where the problems is and here's how we believe it should be addressed.
Yes, it does seem that there's been a, well, it does seem to me, Hemana, that there's been challenges, unnecessary red tape and challenges put in front of the veterans every time that you've wanted to highlight that this has happened, this is the result, this is what we can show you in terms of evidence. And it seems to me as if there's been some blockages there and unwillingness to actually accept that a wrong was done and would not be admitted. And that seems to me to be just such a callous attitude that was shown by our, well, actually, I guess you can say by the governments, the various governments of the day and the Defence Force.
Correct. So there's two angles I'm looking at the moment, Peter Picker. One is the concern with the health that's been neglected in more ways than one, and the attitude that's been applied every time we do try and address it. Veterans Affairs, they are trying to kill us according to the act that was passed in 2014. Now, when that act was passed, it prevented us claiming injuries pre-1974. Well, in 1974, there was thousands of Maori soldiers that served in Malaya and served in Korea, likewise in the Maori World, Second World War, the 28th Maori Battalion, and World War One. And some nitwit had decided to make a cut at 1974, and all claims for compensation has to be after 1974. So it's historic, some of the claims that we've got, and unless you meet that criteria that had happened before 1974, then fine, you can't go back. You can only claim as far back as 1974. Now, that's a load of rubbish. And so these are one of the bureaucracies that we're trying to navigate right now, Merepeka. And so it's a two-pronged attack that I'm approaching. I'm going up and down the country to inform all the veterans. And this is where we are at the moment, and what is Veterans Affairs going to do about it? I went through my report recently to New Zealand Defence Force in Ohakia just last week. And at that meeting was Veterans Affairs, a hierarchy, New Zealand RSA, and there were some Maori hauras that came down from Heretauna, from Kahununu, as part of the, just to listen to part of the presentations. And when Veterans Affairs gave us their presentation of what they're doing for veterans, well, it was certainly an eye-opener for me what they do behind the curtain, so to speak. And so there was a lot and lots of challenges that I raised with Veterans Affairs, and likewise had some sort of New Zealand RSA with some sort of impact on them, but more importantly, the New Zealand Defence Force. Because you see, Menepeka, Veterans Affairs is part and parcel as a military organization. And they piggyback onto the New Zealand Defence Force. And the New Zealand RSA, well, they have their own charter as well. And their charter stipulates that the purpose of an RSA is to look after the veterans. Well, how can they look after the veterans when they can't even look after themselves? In hierarchy, I mean, and it still smacks of racism, sadly to say. And one of the things that highlighted the hui that I went to last week was quite good, because Ross Imona, he was an officer that served with us in Malaya and Vietnam, and I think he's the only Maori officer that's alive now to tell the story. And so he's been seconded by the New Zealand RSA, Sir Buck Shelford, to review the whole charter of the RSA and introduced the principles of the Treaty of Waitangi. Well, I won't say the principles, I'll go further than that. Never mind the principles, they go direct to the articles of the Treaty of Waitangi. So that's what they're doing now. So I take my hat off to Ross Imona in trying to address that issue. So as I go around the country talking to them, not only am I talking about our veterans' health, but I'm talking about some of the breaches of our tikanga that was exposed. And one of the breaches that I'm now currently addressing is we've got three Defence Force marais up and down the country. We have one in Wairu, one in Ohakea, and one in a Navy base. They're great marais. They're doing their very best to uphold and maintain our tikanga to a point. But when I asked them in all of their presentations, where is cultural healing? I don't see any cultural healings involved with the local Maori community to bring them in to help these veterans serving or past. And well, they haven't got it. I said, well, is it not time you introduced it? So that's one I'm working very hard on now. Hence my reasoning when I go to Oraka and I take my hat off to Ngāti Whātua Hawara, they invited me to come up there and speak to them about the mamai that I identified in that research that I presented, Merepeka. They want to know all about us, and they want to, they've asked me, we want to know what is wrong with the veterans and their family. How can we help?
Well, I think that's absolutely wonderful, you know, because I suspect, like myself, when I sat and I listened to you at that Waitangi tribunal hearing, you know, I suspect that many of the providers, hauora providers, might not know, and they certainly might not know the extent of the issues that impacted our vets. And, you know, I'm thinking of my cousins. You know, I'm thinking of my cousin Charlie Rokawa, Bimbo Rokawa, Henare Dixon. You know, I'm thinking of, and they were my brother-in-law and my two cousins. And they died, you know, way, way early. And I didn't even think about it. I just thought, oh, yes, they passed away. Well, hell's bells. Yes, that was probably not necessary because both Charlie and Bimbo were in the New Zealand Navy. Henare was in the New Zealand Army, my brother-in-law.
Correct.
So, you know, it's, and I wonder if it's, I wonder if our, you know, can I just ask, what's the response that you're getting from the veterans around the motu, Hemana?
Well, apart from the veterans that I've interviewed, this is the first time I'm taking the initiative. I was fortunate the Health Research Council allowed me to get some funds to go around and promote the report and bring it to the attention of the veterans that I didn't interview, just to give them another burst of energy and a burst of light to say, hey, look, my mate, this is what this is what you had to go through. So I am now addressing it through the Waitangi Tribunal, and the New Zealand Defence Force have now set up. They are starting to listen to our claims, and they are now looking to address those claims. Hence, I am now sort of helping the New Zealand Defence Force to address the breaches of the claims. And but before I go there, I want to sort out the breaches of why our hauora has been not been recognised, and I castigated the Veterans Affairs Medipika. I said to them at the meeting, you know, you've said to us this is what you do when you receive your applications. We go to the doctor recommends a specialist, we go to the specialist and we send the application through to you down in Wellington, and then it comes to you. It comes to you, and then you assess it, and then the first thing you do is you go back to see if we meet the criteria. If we don't meet the criteria, you turn it down, you decline the application. And when you decline the application, there's a percentage of compensation that this one individual person has declined. And I was always of the opinion, I repeat, I was always of the opinion that the applications go before a medical board to review say, yes, he deserves this compensation. We'll give him this much amount as part of his service, and then allow the funding to come through, not just for the veterans, but also for the children as well. But it was such a shock that I said to this individual from Veterans Affairs, so you are God King by assessing the applications on your own, and then I quoted him. I said, three times I put in for a compensation. So you are the one that refused it, declined it three times, only because I didn't meet the conditions where you said it was. Because most of the conditions that we are raising happened before 1974.
Yes.
You know, jumping off the back of the trucks, parachuting, and they don't recognise that. They say that as historical claims, and ACC steps in to address that. Well, I haven't even touched ACC yet. We haven't even gone to ACC yet. So they're still out there. And so it's time the government woke up and realised, well, whether this government will wake up and realise, I'm not too sure. But I have every intent of taking this report and addressing a presentation to the Minister of Veterans Affairs and to the Minister of Defence, and highlighting, and the Minister of Health for that matter, and highlighting, look, what about us?
Yes.
What about us? You know, and I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about Māori and Pākehā and our cousins from the Pacific. We all suffer the same poison regardless of the colour of our skin. When you cut our skin, the blood is red. There's no difference. The blood is still red. So when the blood is inside that blood, it's the contamination that has not been confirmed, Merepika, that the toxic poisoning was the cause of many of our deaths from Agent Orange. And so I am one of the recommendations, of course, was made that the government established a commissioner to appoint someone of a scientist level to delve into the clinical evidence. This is what the poison had done. The effects of the poison had killed a lot of our veterans. And some of them was claimed it was diabetes, heart attack, or other issues that had nothing to do in their family. There was no DNA in the family of them ever having this sort of sickness. And so it's he mamae, he mamae te nākau ki te whakarono, And just while I was in Oaxaca, one of my dear colleagues from Naitirani, Pato Douglas, passed away. And he passed away because of the Agent Orange. There's no two ways about that. But he told a story about his brother. His brother had no fingers and no limbs. Was cut off because of diabetes. And he died of a heart attack because that he was in hospital when it happened. And we well know that their family has never, ever, ever had diabetes in the history of their whakapapa. And they say, oh, well, it's a heart attack. No, no, it wasn't. It had everything to do with the poison that created it. So these are the hurdles that I'm having to negotiate. But fortunately, on the other side of the hurdle, I'm bringing in our Ropu Māori, because I've said to Veterans Affairs quite clearly. They said to me, well, how do we fix some of your problems? And I said to them, yes, they're sitting right in front of you. And there was a group of Māori hauora from Kahununu, and there were some from Mātātua. And I said, here's where the problem can be fixed, by you recognizing these Māori health authorities to come in and adopting cultural healing practices such as karakia, such as miri-miri, such as listening to let the wairua Māori, the mental side of it, be addressed by Māori for Māori. And you need to recognize that right now. And when you do recognize it, I want it written in policy. So I've issued a challenge to Veterans Affairs and to the New Zealand Defence. Now is the time to address, and it's taking so long. So I am now going around informing our boys, okay, this is where we're at, gentlemen, and this is what our intent is. Because right now, the only chance that we've got to curing ourselves is as our Ropu Māori. The minute, as soon as they know what is wrong with us, they can find the Rōnua to come and address it, not by going to a specialist, not by going to a hospital, but they come to our marae and deal with our cultural, using our cultural tikanga to address those issues, and Alzheimer's is one of them.
So Hemana, I just think that's, great, absolutely great what you've outlined, in the last few minutes. So you'll be, this is the first of, I suspect, so if I'm to understand you correctly, the meeting next week, which is on, when is it now, the 5th of December, is that going to be probably the first of a number of hui around the mutu, explaining to the veterans and their whānau?
Good question, Merepeka. That's the second. The first one, I'm heading up to Kororareka RSA, way up north. Ah. That is where the first seminar is going to be held. And I have invited all the veterans that served with us pre-1974. Of course, there's still a few of us left up there. And that was the only lawyer I never managed to get to interview, because I ran out of money in the budget. So I only interviewed the veterans, 34 veterans that was in Tāmaki, Tainui, Mātātua, Te Arawa, and Ngāti Porou in Gisborne. That was the only area I could that I interviewed. But their voice represents all of them anyway. So now I'm taking the story to them. This is your story. This is your story. And this is what's up to date. I'm bringing them up to speed. And this is our intent, the where to from here. And there's 9 different awards, I believe, that's up there at Merepeka. So hopefully those delegations from those 9 Hawara Māori groups providers up there will attend, so that they can hear and see for themselves exactly where we're at.
Yes, well, I do know that, that I'm just so thankful that you've been doing this work. And I know you've been doing it for such a long time, Hemana, and yes, gathering the information. Yes. Tell me, did you get information from America at all? Because, they had a lot of, particularly in Vietnam, they had a lot of servicemen over there went back to the United States, and they started talking about what they noticed, and particularly in some of their children, not only their own health, but the health of their tamariki. And was there any information sharing with some of the veterans from the United States, the Vietnam vets there?
Absolutely. It was them that started it, Merepeka. We had no idea of it until word dripped through very, very slowly. It didn't come through from the government. It came through from the veterans in Vietnam that they raised hell to draw the attention to their government. This is what's happening to us. And also, not only to them, but it also happened to the civilian population in Vietnam as well, when we talk about the spray. So it was the clinical evidence that they picked up, and also Australia tagged on, and so they started doing their own investigations as well. Sadly, New Zealand hasn't even done their part of the investigation to clinically prove that Agent Orange, the toxic poison, was the cause of a lot of deaths of our Vietnam people. Over 3,000 servicemen served in Vietnam, Medipika, and a half of them now is gone, and that only leaves the very few, that's only 75s, that's still alive, and just that's the Vietnam side of it, and it's from the Malayan perspective, and Borneo, there's only a few left, and we're still battling the evidence, the clinical evidence that was produced at the Waitangi Tribunal when we were in Rotorua, has to be finished off. The doctor that was doing that, he ran out of funding, and so I spoke to that doctor, and he told me that he's going to be finishing off the research on why we got the DPT, the insect repellent that we rubbed on our skins. He's going to finish that off to prove to the government. Look, it's over 50 years now, and we're still trying to prove the conditions of service that the governments have refused or turned a blind eye to, when the statistics clearly tell us this is what caused the death. And we've not only that, we pass it on to our children and now to our mokopuna. When are they going to wake up that this is the damage that's been done, and they are still blind to the whole situation? So I'm hopeful, Miripika, I'm hopeful. Once I finish at Orake, then I head off to Kahununu. The Hauora and Kahununu is going to invite me, and they're going to bring all their people there and bring all the veterans, and I do the same presentation in Kahununu. Once I finish over there, then I'm debating to go to Taranaki Whanganui or Palmerston North Whanganui down to Wellington and do the same presentation. And the final presentation I've got is in Christchurch. That's scheduled for March next year. And again, the presentation will be similar and exactly the same, identifying this is where we are, this is what we need to do, and this is why I brought the regional hauora, Māori hauoras from those areas, because at the end of the day, I will be turning to them and say, he ha tau koha kia mātou. And I have no doubt the Māori hauoras will be dying to get in there to see what assistance they can provide for that individual veteran and their whānau. So that's a road trip that I'll be doing for the next 12 months anyway, to identify that, and then I'll deal with the breaches later.
My goodness. Well, you've setting yourself a mighty workload there, Hemana.
Yes,
and
yes,
yeah. So this is that. So the meeting next week is on Tuesday, yes, the 5th of December, yes, at the Ngāti Whātua Hauora, 230 Kupe Street, Orake. That's right?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Great. Well, I'm sure you'll get a very, very good turnout, because this is something, it's been a long time coming, and the more people, yes, that know about it, that can support that taki, which, yep, is so very important, the more people that hear about it, the better. Look, Hemana, thank you so much, first of all, for the mahi that you're doing in this regard. And as I say, when I heard you speak, I did shed a tear, and I wasn't the only one. I looked around, and unless you actually know, you know, we could say, well, we're a bit ignorant. Well, yes, we were. But so, for goodness sake, you're lifting the veil now on this issue, and it's so important, and it should have been addressed long ago. So thank you for the mahi that you're doing in that regard, Hemana. And I do hope you'll get the turnout and indeed the support that you need.
Thank you. But if I may just add to that, I'm also highlighting the use, why we use our Māori hauoras. And when I look at the government, what the new intending government is going to do is to cut out the services aka hauora Māori that could possibly drip down to our Rōpū Māori hauoras providers up and down the motu. Well, my answer to them is, if you're going to cut off the services to Māori hauora, you're cutting off the lifeline, the umbilical cord that's going to save us, the veterans. So I'm promoting our Rōpū Māori hauoras as well, big time.
Oh, thank you so much, Hemana. I actually believe that we haven't heard the last yet in terms of what this current government is trying to do. There's no way we're going back into the box with the government stroking our head and saying, know your place. Absolutely not. So, you know, we live in interesting times, and they're certainly in the short term anyway, I believe, they're going to get very, very interesting, Hemana.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate Radio Monte helping me to promote this to our veterans. Army, Navy, and Air Force, and wives are all welcome, my dear.
Kia ora. Thank you so much, Hemana. Nice to talk with you this evening.
You too.
Thank you. And it is nice. It's always nice to talk to Hemana Waka. And, you know, this is a big take. And as I said, I did shed a tear. And others around me shed a tear as well. And there were families that stood up at the hui, at the Waitangi Tribunal hearing, and just told about their fathers, their husbands, or the young children, or the children spoke. And the children were probably, what would they be? They would be in their 40s. And they talked about 40s, possibly early 50s, and they talked about their fathers coming home and their sicknesses and their illnesses. And, of course, they'd passed away early. And then some of them talked about their brothers and sisters who were born with defects. Yes. And then, they were just quietly telling their story. And I'll tell you, there were tears being shed around us, because unless you know, then you don't know. And so how can you support? So Hemana is doing such great work in this area. Right, so let's take a quick break. We'll take some music, and then I'll be back with you shortly.